9, so if you could take your seats, we'll be beginning in a couple of minutes. Thank you. Okay, I think we'll get started now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Who Is Review Team meeting this morning, and a special warm welcome to our observers. I just wanted to, because of this cosy room that we're in, I just wanted to touch on the status of observers and also to highlight for all of you the plan that we have this week for interaction with the community. I'd very much look for members of the review team to chime in on this, but in our previous discussions to date, we have, in devising our outreach plan and our action plan, we have allowed for as much interaction and transparency as we possibly can. We, of course, have to strike a balance between getting our work done and also that outreach. And so the balance that we're proposing for this week is that despite the rather theatrical setting here, this is in fact, in our minds, a working day, a normal meeting, and we're extremely happy to have observers here. But our what we have in mind is that the observers will be silent observers because, as Alice has shown on the screen, we have allowed for considerable interaction with various communities this week. So we're going to be stopping by the GAC, the Security Stability Advisory Committee, the registrars, the ASO, the CCNSO, and the registries this week. And at the next ICANN meeting, we will be trying to have one-to-one, if you like, sessions with other constituencies that we haven't been able to cover this time. And then on Wednesday, we will be holding an interaction with the community. I think it might be in this room. No, it isn't, is it? It'll probably be in a smaller room. But so unless anybody on the team thinks otherwise, my proposal is that we use this day as our working day. Thank you for your for being here as observers, but we're hoping that it will be silent observers. So if that's clear, if anybody else wants to make any other suggestions or disagree. Okay. So thank you. We have apologies here from Kim von Arx, Sharon Lemon, and Olivier Itianu. I know that there's a GAC meeting on today, so we may be seeing Peter Nettlefold sporadically. Now, I know that Gary Kibbe, I don't see him here in the room at the moment, but he is one of Sharon Lemon's colleagues and is attending the meeting. Just wanted to know from the group if there would be any objections to him joining this meeting, and if so, on what basis, and whether he would be able to speak or participate. Any comments? Kathy?
I would support Gary Kibbe joining us because he's from the same organization as Sharon Lemon, the Serious Organized Crime Agency in England. And also that he participated in our first meeting. He was there, he was part of the presentations, part of the discussion. So it would be very much a continuation, I think, of the types of discussions we were having in London at our first meeting.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Lynn, did you want to come in? No.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you. Well, so if and when we see Gary, he'd be very welcome to join and participate as a full member of the team on Sharon's behalf for this meeting. Okay. So our first agenda item is adoption of minutes from our most recent teleconference. I hope you all have a copy either on the Adobe room or we have paper copies here. So are there any comments? Oh, no, we don't have paper copies yet. Sorry, it's in the Adobe room. The minutes were circulated to the list. So if you've got... I don't know if people had a chance to look at them, if you have any comments on them. Alice, can you get them up on the screen? Okay. Any comments, objections on these notes?
Wait, can you go back? Sorry. Was the disagreement over the consumer's definition or consumer trust?
I think from recollection it was both.
Okay.
We had quite an extensive discussion on the definition of consumers, and that led to James offering to sort of split out the definition of consumers in the large and consumers... do you want to chime in on this, James?
I think that it was that difference of opinion and an attempt to strike the balance that Bill recommended. We came up with a bifurcated definition of consumer, in that we had the consumer writ large, anyone using the internet, and then we had a specific who is consumer. Now, I posted that, I believe, to the RT4 list. I'm not sure if I received anything back. I'm not sure where that was left. Sorry.
Well, what happened is when you posted it, there was Dr. Sarmad made some comments as well, and there was a little bit of discussion. We then adopted it, put it into the call for public comment. But we were unable to, you know, we were very close on the definition of consumers, but we were unable to reach agreement at all on consumer trust, and that's the reason why we've left it for today's agenda to really try to explore in more depth. Is that covered?
Yeah, there was also some discussion on the around the survey form, which went around, and I think we decided that we'll probably come back and debate that further. I'm not sure whether that's recorded here.
Yes, indeed. And the survey form is in today's agenda. So what we did was we took out the concept of consumer trust and those survey questions that we'd developed, and I think that they will merit from a bit of face-to-face time here today. Okay, so can we adopt those notes? Okay, good. Thank you. Those are adopted. So the next item on our agenda, agenda item 3, is really an informational session, which I'm going to ask Kathy to lead, to discuss really what we're doing this week and introduce the different constituencies that we're working with, you know, give a sense of what their concerns, what their interest in our work is, and how we, let's have a discussion about how we plan to approach these groups and use the time that we have with them. So, Kathy, can I hand over to you, please?
Certainly, but per the format of our group, hopefully... I won't be the only one talking. Let's everybody participate and share the discussion, because we do that very well. The goal here is to talk a little bit about the meetings. Would it be possible to go back, Alice, to the list of groups we're meeting with? And And were each representatives of the of constituencies and supporting organizations, as well as being members and representatives of the ICANN community as a whole. But we are now going into outreach sessions per our action and outreach plan, and it would be useful for us to compare notes among each other as to what are these advisory committees and constituencies. What are their concerns? What questions might they be asking us? What might we be able to ask them that would be useful in this process? We're all experts in our own communities, and it seemed like a good opportunity before we go into different groups to share that expertise. Is it the same presentation we want to do to every community that we meet with, or should we be considering some variations of it that would be more appropriate? I can certainly tell you about the registry community and look forward to sharing that, you know, and similarly, the different communities we come from. We haven't had a chance to really plan these meetings, so this is our opportunity. And to plan the approach, to plan whether we want to be in listening mode or responsive mode. And also to make sure, let's see if we can find that a member of our community from that constituency or community will be with us in each meeting. So that's kind of the overall goal for the hour. I would say we would start with GAC, but I'd like to actually, if there's no objection, maybe move GAC to a lower part of the list in case Peter comes in and can work with us on this discussion.
Sure. Just a quick question. On Tuesday, for example, I was planning to go to the nonprofit or non-commercial constituency.
Excuse me, just can everybody hear Lynn in the back?
Oh.
Sorry, Lynn.
Just a quick question. I was planning to attend the non-commercial constituency on Tuesday. So is that okay? Is it mandatory that we all go to this particular schedule?
No,
okay.
Not at all. We all have our own community meetings. No, as many or as few as you want, with hopes
okay.
that the community that you come from hopefully is one that you can join us for.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Does everyone agree with that, by the way?
Just
is there consensus among us that we don't all have to be at all these meetings? There may be other places we need to be.
Yeah, just to support what Kathy said, and I had a very similar conversation with James before the meeting started. We know that many of us have other obligations this week, and it's great. You know, the main focus is today's meeting, which is a working meeting for us all. And Kathy and I have committed to covering those outreach sessions with the various constituencies, so there will be two people from the team at a minimum. It would be great if people from that constituency could join, particularly if you're going to be in the room anyway, just come and join. But actually, I think these are 20, 30-minute sessions. It's going to take about 20 minutes for us all to go in and take our seats if we all turn up. So it's, you know, just to be realistic, let's just take a pragmatic view on that.
No, just wanted to echo what Emily said. Thank you.
Sorry, the top of my microphone just went flying. It's going to be an interesting day. Alice, if we might, could we put up the call for public comment? Maybe before we start talking about the individual constituencies, let's talk a little bit about what we're on the public record for asking for public comment. We don't have to present it in completeness to every constituency, but let's just talk about what we as a community have approved, because there's also a request for expansion from Lutz. And so Lutz, after we go through the call for public comment, I thought you might talk about your slides as well. So is that okay? So the call for public comment is behind, and I'll just give a quick review. This is our first public presentation to the community, so we have shown you where in the affirmation of commitments our mandate comes from and our scope and our requirements, which is 9.3.1. We've given you an overview as well as a link to who we are as representatives and from what communities we hail, and talked a little bit about our first meeting, which was in London in January. We have shared with you documents that, frankly, we worked very, very hard on preparing our scope of work and our roadmap, our outreach plan, our action plan. Key definitions. Actually, Alice, could you link to the scope of work? Emily, would it be appropriate just to review that for people here? So if you follow the link, you'll find our scope of work and what we are looking to analyze. We are, of course, not here as a policymaking team. We are here as a policy review team, and we take that very seriously. And within our scope of work, we have – actually, Bill, you can probably read it better. Can you just review, Bill or Susan? The scope of work. Oh, that's – my eyes don't work that far anymore.
Okay, the scope is that the WHO is review team has been constituted under the affirmation of commitments by the United States government, Department of Commerce, and the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, dated the 30th September 2009. That's the AOC. In accordance with the principles set out in the AOC, in particular, it's paragraph 9.3.1. The scope of the WHOIS review team is to assess the extent to which existing WHOIS policy and its implementation is effective, meets the legitimate needs of law enforcement, and promotes consumer trust. The WHOIS review team will undertake an analysis and determination of ICANN's performance against the AOC requirements, that ICANN implements measures to maintain timely, unrestricted, and public access to accurate and complete WHOIS information, including registrant, technical, billing, and administrative contact information, and enforce its existing policy relating to WHOIS subject to applicable laws. This assessment will undertake an evidence-based approach and seek to identify good practice in other areas of the domain space as a benchmarking tool. These could include examples regarding IP addresses and CCTLDs, where relevant, in consultation with ICANN's supporting organisations and advisory committees, as well as with other organisations and the larger community. And then there's a roadmap where we set out non-exhaustive actions that we could take. So that's not meant to be everything. I don't even think we're required to do everything in it, but these are just illustrative examples of the sort of actions that could support that scope.
I am impressed with your ability to read small print. And thank you. So our scope and work plan are part of what we're sharing. Perfect timing, Peter. Perfect timing. Hi. Good to see you. What we'll be sharing with the community. Can we go back, Alice? As well as our outreach plan, which basically says that we will be at all the upcoming ICANN meetings through the end of November, and we're going to be working very, very hard in our public outreach, be it supporting organizations, advisory committees, public forums, as well as having our meetings, our own team meetings in big public rooms. And then a big part of our public comment is a list of key definitions. In the affirmation of commitments, we have some very broad requirements. And so we're working on and wrestling with what is law enforcement, what are applicable laws, who are the producers and maintainers of WHOIS data, and what is a consumer. And so a lot of our work here is to encourage people to look at the definitions that we provided and to respond and let us know if we're on the right track. If you would suggest variances, differences, changes, complete deletions. So that's an overview. And in part, it was because I knew you were coming in, Peter. We're talking about how our outreach to the supporting organizations and communities that we'll be reaching to, and how, while we're all here as members and representatives of the ICANN community, we bring in our individual expertise. So what types of questions can we expect from the communities we're going to? A little bit of an overview. And I don't know if it's fair to call on you as soon as you've come in. GAC is who we're meeting with this afternoon. And so taking our outreach plan, and let's, I haven't forgotten about your slides, so let's, but certainly starting with our call for public comment, how do we take this into the GAC, and how should we be thinking about that presentation? It's a very short, we have a limited amount of time during a very, very busy period of the GAC meeting.
First, apologies, despite having almost hourly updates from my BlackBerry that daylight savings changed last night, I forgot to change my clock. So I feel very foolish and many apologies. What you were just running through, which I believe is the little document we released for public release, I'm sure would be a useful introduction for most GAC members. I can't speak for all of them, but I think that there's been a big focus on GTLDs lately, and that was continued to be the case yesterday. I had a brief chance to raise it with GAC colleagues yesterday afternoon, and there's certainly some who are really interested in this review. I expect most once they get the chance. So I think just an introduction to put it on their radar. From discussions I've had with some colleagues, at least, I think there will be some areas of interest. I can't say that everyone probably had a chance to respond to my questions, but I think that there's a feeling that a lot of colleagues think the GAC principles are still a valid document for and a useful input. That's something that if the review team, I think it was James who originally raised that question in London. I'll be trying to follow up more fully on that, but I believe the input I've got to date is that people feel that's valid. I think there's likely to be a few questions from the floor. Some people have expressed an interest in the definitions from just a preliminary response that I've received from a couple of people is that there's likely to be some questions about what the definitions are likely to be used for. So I think that's something that may come up. Not sure I can add a whole lot more than that. I think the other feeling that I get from preliminary discussions with GAC colleagues is that something a bit longer and more substantive in Singapore may be really useful to, because there will certainly be some governments who are really interested to ask the review team some questions and likely to have some substantive discussion on it.
Is there a way to pull out, if there are certain topics that governments already know they want to discuss, is there a way to kind of pull that out now to help us think about things and frame things and also know where resources might be?
I guess there's two things I'd comment. One thing that it depends on if we can get to a point in a review team where maybe we could present what we see as key areas of interest or policy areas that will likely be of discussion by this afternoon. So we could say we're particularly interested in, you know, the status and management of privacy and proxy services, and would like, if we can identify some areas like that may be a useful way to try to target the discussion. I think from GAC colleagues, one thing that the GAC tries to do, I guess, is people will be, you know, forthright in asking questions and so on, but individual GAC members try not to speak for the GAC as a whole when they haven't had an opportunity to reach consensus. So I don't think you may not get too many sort of views put forward too substantially, but you'll certainly get questions, or will certainly get questions. So. We have the opportunity now, I guess, to decide if we think that there are key areas of, you know, substantive policy type questions, or, you know, policy questions, but issues that the review team will have to wrestle with. We could try to frame up some of those to sharpen the thinking.
Is that something it would be worthwhile to do now?
Yeah.
Yes, we've got until about 10:15 here. I think that it's probably worth spending a little time with reference to the GAC because we're seeing them today, but also I think that the issues that we highlight are going to be relevant for the other constituencies that we are meeting this week. So I think it's highly relevant for us to say, what is this constituency really going to be interested in? What are they going to know that we should be hearing from them? What information can they provide to assist our study? And are there any particular aspects that we can help them with by narrowing the issues? Okay, so why don't we spend a little time? Bill, thank you.
Yeah, I, given the short period of time that we have with each of the constituencies, I would think we would want to go in. This is our opportunity to interact with them. We've asked for the meetings. I think it's incumbent on us to go in with some prepared material about what we would like to hear from, but I would suggest that it needs to be brief material. And we have between 20 minutes and 30 minutes, in most cases, an hour with the larger community. I would suggest we can't go in with more than four or five slides. And that at each one, we want to ask for input, comment. I think we need to decide what are the issues, and we may tailor it somewhat for individual constituencies or advisory groups, but from my perspective, it should be kind of an overview of what we are doing and where we think we need assistance or where we would like some help. Otherwise, we aren't going to interact.
Thank you. Lutz.
The slides I prepared in the plane the idea for me was to give a short instruction to the other community and saying, please have a short look what we are doing, what our scope is. We are aware of you. That's why I included current work, other ICANN work, that everybody can see that we are aware of their work, that we are, do not ignore them. And just keep it very, very short in saying, we have discussed the following points, we have the following ground, and after about 3 to 5 minutes, this presentation has to be stopped. We have to be finalized here. We have to bring a feeling to the other community we are interacting with, saying, we are respecting you, we are respecting your work, and we are very interested in your input. And that's the reason behind the slides I prepared. I know that the slides are wrong, but there might be a start for such a thing. I think that such a consultation can be only done in a way that we are bring over the feeling that we are not coming here to say that we want to change everything because we are completely ignorant of their work, and then saying that what we are going to prepare for them, but we have to be very careful to do not bring the wrong feeling over. It's more a problem of communication than a problem of content here. We have to be very smooth to start with and saying we are here because we need your input. This consultation is our outreach here. And what we are expecting for the next 20 minutes, it's the usual time we have, is that you tell us your problems. What do we have for problems with who is? Would you have a bad feeling with removing who is service, or if have you a bad feeling with expanding who is services? Do you have a bad feeling with accuracy improvements, that you have a lot of more work or a lot of less work. And that's the key issues I expect from the consultation, that we get their input, that especially on our work, that they say, oh, we have a problem, for instance, with internationalizations, you didn't notice here. Please have a look. We have a problem with the following policy. We are here to have a policy review. So we have to set up an atmosphere that the other constituencies are able to say, we have a problem with the current policy, and this problem arises from our daily work, and the problem lies here, and please have a look at it. But it's very hard to get it in this point, because ICANN is a very political issue. So if somebody goes out of this good presentation of itself and say, I have a problem, it's a very difficult situation to get it out in the public, but we need this, I have a problem from the constituency, and so we have to have to make it sure that they have feeling that such an outing is not bad for them, it's good for them.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lutz. Just drawing together what I'm hearing from you and from Bill, and bearing in mind the practicality of going in for 20 minutes, having to get people up to speed. You know, as Peter said, you know, a lot of the other constituencies have not been focusing on who is recently, so they need some sort of information from us. But equally, we need to also, you know, this is an interaction. We don't need to just go in and talk to them for 20 minutes and then go see you. To my mind, your final slide here, tell us your position, we are listening to you, is highly relevant. So I think that we've got to look at these sessions in the round. We have a one-hour community interaction, which I think will be open mic in format. I'm just making that up. But so if we can use the 20-minute sessions to have a few questions, a few sort of a bit of dialogue with the different communities, I think that would be really good. We will have to be very, very aware of how long it takes to go through a single slide, is all I'm saying as well, that we can't go in with 20 or 30 slides and hope to get through them in 5 minutes, but it just won't happen. I think that Bill made a very practical point in that regard. So, from what I'm hearing around the table is we're all keen to hear the different perspectives from the communities to make people understand that we're not making policy, we're not driving at a particular outcome, we're actually wanting to hear from them what their concerns and what the issues that they feel are relevant. Okay.
So specifically to the GAC, one of the things I thought we could raise, not for discussion, but maybe, I mean, for some discussion, but also for possible input later, written, is CCTLDs. Clearly, every government I know has wrestled with the same issues we're wrestling with in the GTLDs at the CCTLD level. And effectively, the CCTLDs are within our scope, but basically, a lot of what we're working on is GTLDs, but how the governments have worked with their country codes, what policies have emerged in the who is, whether there are some best practices or just examples that they want to bring to us and share with us, I think could be valuable not just for the team, but for the entire community.
Lynn? Well, in our last meeting, one of the things that we touched on but didn't really delve into, but I feel like we're going to have to put some focus on it, is that in the enforcement of who is policy and the effectiveness of that, it raises up a whole question of compliance and contractual compliance. And so I don't know what different concerns may exist in the GAC, but I think it, at least initially, it appears that we're going to have to focus on that in our work. And that might be something to prompt some reactions from them. You know, do they see any concerns with contractual compliance? Do they have any advice for us, any input?
Peter, you guys should be, this is a great topic, perhaps together.
Sure. Look, I think that's a really useful idea. Off the top of my head, again, I know that as I assume most of the members of the review team are aware, last year the GAC endorsed the law enforcement amendments to the RAA, and I know that some of my European and US GAC colleagues have been recently meeting with registrars and the law enforcement representatives to talk about specific contract issues. So some GAC members will be quite up to speed and probably have a little bit to say about contract compliance and so on. So it's probably a really useful one that some GAC members may be prepared for and willing to speak on.
Okay. So contract compliance, but also use of the WHOIS data. I was at the meeting in Brussels, the International Law Enforcement meeting, which was absolutely fascinating. It was actually an incredible two-day meeting, one of the best meetings I've ever been to. Really opening up communication on both sides, registries, registrars, law enforcement from all over the world, especially law enforcement from all over the world, and hearing their perspective. And there was a good amount of talk about the WHOIS. So would that be appropriate to ask about? That's a very good to ask about in the room. Or so it's contractual compliance, but also needs of the WHOIS, needs for the WHOIS by government. Okay. I don't want to ignore the other end of the table. Yes.
Anything else? One of the things we might ask, too, is, and we'd have to keep it short, but what is their view as a consumer? What is a consumer to the CCTLDs? How do they view that when they are, you know, looking at WHOIS? Because that's definitely a struggle for us, so we might get something from them. And one just basic question, too. Are we going to the GAC or the GAC coming to us? We're going to them. Okay, that's what I assume.
I think we're going to the GAC.
Okay.
There's plenty of room here.
Bill, please.
Well, actually, I think in a practical sense, we've got a break just after that. So, you know, we won't lose too much time, I think.
So, again, as a practical matter, what are we doing to encourage interaction, submission of comments, et cetera, after these meetings? Because 30 minutes is not going to be enough, as an example, with the GAC, where we could have 200 representatives, 200 different opinions perhaps coming in. Are we doing mail lists, wikis? What? And I suggest we need to have that in advance of our meetings with folks to say, here's how you submit comments, questions, et cetera.
I have a suggestion on that. If anybody else is, well, there are at least two things I can suggest. First of all, that we highlight the public session on Wednesday, and invite people to come along and make it clear that that will be an opportunity for people to raise concerns and comments from the floor. Secondly, is to highlight that there is ongoing call for public comment and encourage GAC members and other constituency members that we're meeting to respond to that call. But also, my third suggestion is, you know, let's make use of the fact that we have cross-community participation within this group. And if, you know, my suggestion is that we all keep an eye on the public comments. And if we feel that our own constituencies are not responding in the number or with the detail that we would think they should be, that we undertake to reach out to them. So those are my three suggestions on that.
But let me ask, Peter, a question regarding the GAC, because the GAC is special. And communication with the GAC is, of course, one of the big issues on the table this week. Is putting out the public comment deadline and the link and where to put the written comments, is that sufficient? Should we be thinking in a slightly different way about approaching the GAC, because it is our government's.
I'm not sure I can answer. Perhaps that's something we could usefully ask the GAC. I'm one GAC member. One of the others may have a different idea to me. I agree with Emily. You know, we've got a range of existing sort of outreach mechanisms in place. Certainly, I have been and will continue to, as the GAC chair's delegate to this review, be offering to discuss with interested GAC members anytime, and I'm sending regular updates. So I hope the GAC members will make use of me as a resource, as they, I trust, are of all of us. We're all representing various communities here. That's something we could usefully ask GAC members. What's the best way for the review team to keep in contact with you? A couple of GAC members said that, you know, a more substantial discussion or allowing a little bit more of a time slot in Singapore could be a useful thing. Let's put it out to the GAC as a whole.
Excellent. Let's do that, unless there's any objection. Let's do that. I think that would be great. So I'm hearing three parts of our presentation. One would be a quick summary of our call for public comment and what we're putting out there. Some quick slides on this, nothing too in detail. And opening up questions we think they might have, you know, questions we're bringing to them that we're raising to the GAC, and especially time to allow their questions for us. Lynn, is that a good summary? So I'm thinking of the contractual compliance. I'm thinking of the CCTLD issues. Just as examples of things we might discuss, then opening it up for discussion and maybe closing with a few minutes on communication. What's the best way for us to work with the GAC?
Yes. I had the summary of the issues that we've thought are relevant in our discussion this afternoon. As Kathy says, CCTLDs, contractual compliance, their views on consumer, use of who is, and just a more general discussion on how to give input. I mean, Michael raised the point that we've been discussing here. These are very short sessions. This isn't the end of the process. This is actually, I see it as awareness raising and starting to get people on board at the beginning of the process so that they can stay with it, I hope, throughout the year.
Emily, should we add GAC principles? Did I miss that? The GAC principles are at the top there. Peter, do we have a copy of the GAC principles easily available?
I have one on my computer. As soon as I have a second to figure out the wireless network, I can email it to everyone. Yep.
Thank you. Great. And could we add it to the... where would be a good place to add that so we have easy reference to it?
It's in the background materials.
I believe it is. I think it was circulated while we were chit-chatting in London by someone circulated it to the group, but that's probably buried way down in people's inboxes. So I'm happy to circulate that again.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Okay, any further discussion on the GAC? Okay. The next group that we're meeting with, let's skip over ESSAC for a second and go to registrars so I can put you on the spot, James. Would you like to talk about the registrars, their concerns, their interests?
Well, I would probably be speaking out of school if I treated registrars as a monolithic block with a single set of unified concerns, but I would suggest that there are a number of concerns necessarily on who is. There's, I think, several concerns relative to privacy and proxy services and how those are often discussed in the same sentences with fraud and abuse when we feel that there's a very legitimate need and use for those types of services. I think that when we look at the RAA, we're very cognizant that there are, and this came up, I think, Kathy, as well in the meeting here in Brussels, that the RAA is a contract between registrars and ICANN.
Yes.
It has mechanisms for adoption of policies, but it in and of itself is not a policy document to be loaded in with different requirements. There is a mechanism to do that. So I think that specifically as it applies to any recommendations that might come from this group relative to who is something that I'm sure registrars will be very keenly interested in. You know, in general, I think that registrars probably get a bad rap in the community, but they are businesses. They're looking for some degree of certainty and some degree of consistency over time so that they can make plans and that they can serve their customers in the way that they feel is you know, advantageous to them in the marketplace. And they want to, of course, innovate new products and services using Whois and Whois information and Whois services as the formation for new products and services. So I think that we should probably keep our questions as open-ended as possible and be prepared to be surprised because I'm sure that they will throw some things that no one at this table, particularly me, have been able to come up with to date.
Based on that and based on how well you channel registrar concerns, no, you do. You summarize it very, very well. I have a proposal in this particular case, and registrars, let me know if you disagree, that we start with the traditional opening, you know, Emily probably presenting the slides, our call for public comment, the overview of what we are sharing in the public comment, but then that we ask James to be to open the section setting out concerns of, you know, open the communication between us as he's just done, maybe explaining us to the registrars, explaining a little bit of the registrars to us, setting the stage for a discussion on issues of concern to registrars. Is there any objection to that?
Sure, I'm certainly willing to be the sacrificial lamb and step out in front of that group and get the conversation going because I think that's the key thing, is just to kind of open the dialogue.
That's and then the similar conclusion. Oh, I'm sorry, Emily, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, just to build on that, Peter, in our session with the GAC this afternoon, would you be able to take a similar role to the one that we're proposing for James in that we can just set out some of the factual background, but perhaps you can channel some of it, just sort of try to get the conversation going in the way that he suggested, or not. It doesn't matter.
Yep, happy to do that. Yeah,
thank you. Excellent. Okay, so an opening, then the discussion being led by Peter and James, and then the closing with the call for communication. Emily and I can probably do that if that's appropriate, with the call for communication and where to communicate, and especially with GAC, how to communicate. With the rest of the ICANN community, we have pretty established connections, and we'll give people websites and deadlines and all that good stuff for comments. And also, of course, the public sessions that we're having. So the public sessions, the written comments, the deadlines, and where to send all of this. Okay. The ASO. It's unfortunately, Wilfried is not with us, but I'm going to ask Olaf, who is so familiar and so important with his work with the ASO as a member of the ICANN staff. So I'll just, please.
Thank you, Kathy. And, well, I do my best in the absence of Wilfried, who is our link to the addressing community, as they're frequently called, addressing supporting organization, which, as you may not know, consists of the regional internet registries and their, well, the ASO is actually the link between ICANN and the regional internet registries, of which there are five around the world. And most interestingly, and I think that may be one focus point perhaps, is that they have Whois service as well for the addressing resources, meaning the IP addresses. And that's something totally different. But perhaps that could be a focus, the similarities and differences between what a DNS Whois and the addressing resources Whois. And in particular from the perspective of what are their relationship and demands from, for example, law enforcement agencies. I can imagine that could lead to some interesting comparisons. and also contractual obligations and handling of, faulty information in HOIS. So there's plenty to talk about, probably, but I believe with 30 minutes it's going to be a first exploratory getting to know each other session primarily.
Is there anyone on our team who can help lead and facilitate that discussion? Is it appropriate? Okay. Let's microphone. Sorry.
An at-risk organization, I can help a little bit.
Would you? I would. Thank you. That would be wonderful. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us about the ASO?
The ASO has an interesting point here for us because they are on the situation that they can deploy a thin HOIS, and they are doing so for the very first step. But the question for me is why they are not switching to a thin HOIS for all their services up to their local internet registries. What reason to keep such a thick and ugly database issues, and why do they do so? Because they have a clear structure. They do not have the reseller chains. They do not have all the problems from the domain names. They are a perfect example to do it right, and they do it wrong.
But in terms of communication from them, that what type of input do you see the ASO as being able to provide?
They have the problem vice versa. They have the problem that they have a lot of questions from the anti-spammers. They have a lot of questions from the law enforcement. They do not have the questions or the HOIS questions from the use cases for I want to know who is holding the domain name or the intellectual property issues are not that relevant on this HOIS services. So it would be interesting to see if they would propose another access model to HOIS in the light of their use cases or not. I think I should not take part in this discussion.
I'm sorry.
You are looking so that you are looking at me that I had a feeling that it would be better to choose another person to talk to the ASO.
Well, no, I'm I don't know. Others. Well, just the difference between reviewing and creating policy is that.
They have policies on. So the interesting point for my personal interesting point is, what can they recommend to us for policing?
Perfect. that sounds like the right question. Perfect. So I do hope you'll take the lead on this. Is that a yes? And then the similar communication closing with the call for comments and continued interaction. By the way, I note that we don't have either the intellectual property, the business community, or the non-commercial users constituency. So I think a number of our consumers and users will be part of the next meeting in Singapore. There was some outreach. I look at Milton Mueller kind of giving. We tried. Messages and timeframes. So I think we're going to have very interesting meetings with constituencies in Singapore as well. CCNSO, who would like to speak to that?
I will try. First of all, there will be only 20 minutes for CCNSO, so it will be even shorter than a usual meeting. There is an important issue which we need to take into consideration, that the procedures which we discuss for HOIS in general, they can be applicable, can be not be applicable for the CCNSO, for the CCTLDs. And I recall that, for example, the Russian IDN, which was one of the first to sign, or which is supposed to sign the agreement with ICANN on cooperation in IDN management, we had to change the procedure, which is which was similar to RIA, but it was unacceptable for certain legal issues for the Russian authorities and for Russian IDN registrar, especially for the WHOIS procedures. So my proposal is, of course, first of all, to listen to what the people from CCTLD would say to us. I think they are... They know what kind of procedures are in force now, and of course they have something to propose how it should be changed rather than listening our opinions on that. So I think it would be much useful for us to be more interactive and to listen to them, again, given that we will have only 20 minutes for that, and in the same manner as for another constituency meetings, we need to define very exactly what will be the next step, whether it will be the beginning or just it's only a reporting or exchange of opinions. So what will be the next step in our interaction? Thank you.
Just adding to Michael's comments, we're actually meeting with the CCNSO after our interaction, the main sort of interaction with the community. So that's just to bear in mind that they won't have had the... Whereas with others, it will be a heads-up, we're having this session. There will be a sort of wash-up session afterwards to highlight that.
Okay. Essa.
Yes, I can't in any way claim to speak for ESSAC, but I can just inform the team that I had a conversation with the chair of ESSAC in preparation for this ICANN meeting, and just to try to get a feel for the concerns of ESSAC or their viewpoint in this area. What I learnt from that call is that, of course, the distinction for the ESSAC members between the WHOIS protocol and the WHOIS service is extremely important and something that we should keep in mind in our work. And I think that a more general point, I suppose, in thinking about the whole policy and implementation of technical services and protocols is quite a long process. And that often the people working on the technology and tomorrow's protocols and how the protocols might develop are quite insulated, if you like, from the policy discussions. And so one of the things that I would like to learn from the ESSAC is, you know, where do they see and how do they see the protocol developing? It might, you know, this might be a long time in the future. It might not be, you know, absolutely relevant for our work today, here and now, but I think it is important to understand sometimes in policy, in other areas, it's been very interesting speaking personally for me to speak to the technologists at the early stage and just sort of fire into that process some of the issues that might raise from our different perspectives. So I'm looking forward to that discussion. I hope it will be very forward-looking. I think in order to, we need to be aware that for members of the ESSAC, the distinction between the service and the protocol is an important one. And so that we should be careful in our language to make sure that we're clear what we mean when we're asking for that input.
Could you explain that?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. I think one of the things which we should do with ESSAC is ask them explicitly in...
This is your organization.
Obviously, they're concerned with security and stability issues. And one of the things which we should ask them is services contributing to security and stability from their perspective. who is services available, how critical, in what ways it's critical for the security and stability of the internet. One of the things which is also very active thread in ESSEC is the internationalized registration data. So that's also something we may want to follow up with the ESSEC and see what are the potential needs they see as far as consumer end is concerned. They are actually working with GNSO at this time to look at some policy issues. So it may actually be interesting to see, to ask what kind of gap exists between what the current WHOIS policy is and what they think should be the WHOIS policy vis-a-vis internationalized data in the future.
Dr. Hussain, is this an interaction that you would like to lead for us and open that communication and preface the questions and frame them and open it up?
I can perhaps play a similar role, I guess James and Peter are playing with their constituencies. So I can come in after, perhaps you can do the introductions.
Excellent. Thank you. That would be tremendous. Be a group that many of us have not had much interaction with, so to have both of you as our guides is excellent. That leaves us with the registries. And as unaccustomed as I am, no, just kidding. The registries, of course, have a number of concerns about who is, and I'll be describing in my presentation today under what is who is policy. James and I will both be presenting the views of the contracted parties, what we're obligated to do under our contracts. So you'll have more of an overview of registry issues after this afternoon. I think the presentation format that we've created, where we're presenting our call for public comment, registries love to do public comment, we do. And I'll frame some of the issues, but thin who is that we have one database, yet there are global one database for many of the registries, not all of them, but yet there are global laws to which we are subjected. And lots of questions and wrestling with that. But like others, very quickly moving to discussion because I think the registries will have lots of questions for us. And then closing with the call for public comment and how people can participate. So a similar format, and I would be happy to lead that. There is a question. Is everybody pretty comfortable with this interaction now with supporting organizations and constituencies? There is still an open question as to what to present, and let me go back. Lutz, do you want to talk about your slide presentation a little bit? Because we have two documents in some ways that we can use to frame the two or three slides we might be able to share. And I don't want to overlook the fact that Lutz has worked extremely hard. The two documents are the call for public comment that's out on our website. And then I'm holding it up. This is something Lutz circulated recently, last night, and slides that he has proposed. I'll let him take it, but my understanding is that he has proposed we bring to the constituencies and stakeholder groups. So really what we're talking about is our first 5 minutes, really, and how to frame that and what to use as the basis for the slide where we're presenting a very, very quick overview of what we're doing, who we are and what we're doing as a launch into the discussions that we now have different people leading.
While we're getting that sorted, I just wanted to reflect. I mean, even looking at the slides that Alice, Cathy and I had put together for these presentations, and Bill's comment about actually we should be looking at 4 or 5 slides max for these, and even what I thought was a very, very high level view sort of is at like 10 slides. Lutz, I think similarly we have quite a few slides. So,
So we're looking at also.
Well, we're looking at the two. I think it's more useful to, it's always a difficult balance between providing the necessary information for people to actually know what we're asking them, but not spend the entire 20 minutes talking at them. So in the interest of time, perhaps Kathy and I can volunteer in the lunch break to try and edit down to 4 or 5 slides using Lutz's slides and the ones that we've got together, you know, just in the interest of time this morning. Would that be a helpful proposal?
Yeah, I like that idea, and I thought I would just repeat something that was mentioned earlier, that our aim at this point in time is just to raise awareness. So I wouldn't consider these to be briefings where we have to go into a lot of detail. So I think if we keep that aim in mind, you know, that might help you shorten it.
Peter, and then I think James wanted to come in. Anyone from this? Bill. So Peter, James, Bill.
Yeah, look, I also think that sounds like a really sensible idea. The one thing I would put out there for comment for other team members is perhaps one of the 4 or 5 slides could be the a dot point list of the questions that we have for that specific community, just as a sort of a visual aid, so that as we're talking, they can be looking at it, and there it'll... as we've all said, we've only got a brief time with each community, so if we can get those things in their minds, it'd be really useful.
If that's the case, could you send us the questions from the... We've got some of them, but I'm not sure we have all of them or even the right phrasing for going into the various communities. If you could send it, we'll... You know, it occurred to me, Omar, I should have called on you in the GAC discussion. I totally apologize. Is there something you want to add or say or guidance on that? Okay, I apologize. Would you please work with Peter on that? I mean, you guys should be working together on the GAC, presentation, on the questions.
Kathy, I'm not a formal representative of the GAC. I was just indicated to represent the GAC. I'm not, I think I'm not allowed to.
I wasn't sure as I looked down the list if I had over. Dr. Hussein, I think you're, did you have your hand raised? I'm sorry.
I think we've got the list with James and then Bill. And
I'll withdraw and yield to Bill. Go ahead.
Plus one.
So what I'm going to do now is, I'm looking forward to this bit, coffee. Okay, so we'll have a coffee break for 15 minutes. We'll resume at 10:30.
I think we have to give them
a... Oh, Lutz, sorry, were you expecting to go through? Coffee. Yeah. Okay. And then Kathy and I will put together a sort of a slide deck over the lunch period for our outreach sessions, you know, for the individual sessions based on our discussions this morning. Thank you all very much, and let's have a break. Thank you.